Good morning, Water Dam. It's good to be with you this morning remotely. We are happy to have all of you with us here this morning remotely on Facebook Live. Our scripture today is called Peace and Comfort in Times of Uncertainty, and it's from one of my favorite passages from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Let us pray. Father, we pray and thank you for allowing us to share your word this morning. We thank you for all the people of our church and our community. We thank you for the unity of the Spirit that we have in Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to worry less and trust you more. We give thanks for all of our doctors and nurses who lay their hands on us and care for us and give us medicine to help our bodies heal. We pray for strength for the sick. For the spiritually sick, we ask, Lord, for you to encourage us today, emotionally drained. We pray for your strength, Lord, to help us, to invigorate us, to encourage us, Lord, to walk in faith. And we ask, Lord, for your help and your blessing on our community leaders as they try to help others. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, and we pray for your blessing on them and that the gospel would be encouraging to them, that our hope in this world and in the world to come is in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to read our scripture today to give us context of where we're at in the passage with Jesus. And it comes from chapter 6 in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and he says these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you. O you of little faith, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May God bless the reading of his word. And so we celebrate being able to be with you today. And today I want to share with you some of the promises that I see Jesus giving us to reassure us to trust in the Father's care and focus on the Father's kingdom. They come from the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus has just finished talking to people about faith and finances, people who work hard and live day to day, just like us, people who live hand to mouth, if you want to think about it that way. They're not rich, but they work hard and they earn their money and they eat and they try to take care of their families. And he's encouraging them to not worry, to worry less and trust more, to come to him and find peace and comfort in times of uncertainty. Our EFCA president, and on our website, they posted a missionary who was living in China, and he shared these words. He said, even though we've seen significant changes to our routine and unknowns continue to exist, there are plenty of reasons to be thankful. God brings peace, comfort, and faithfulness in times of change and uncertainty. Scripture tells us that God provides peace that transcends all understanding, and he gives us perfect love that drives out fear. You know, when I was younger, when my dad, I remember something distinctly about my dad. My dad would go around and check all the doors, make sure they were locked. He would wiggle the lock and pull on the door, make sure it wouldn't open. And then he would go around and he would check the burners on the stove. He was worried about the pilot light going out and that the fire would come on or the gas would come on without the fire and it would harm us. And sometimes in the middle of the night, I would hear noises, things that go bump in the night, and I would start to worry, wondering what's going on, who's there. Is something going to get me? And so I'd call out, I'd yell, "Dad, Mom, did you lock the doors? Did you put the chain on?" And I would hear the movement from either the living room or the bedroom, because it depended on what time of the hour that I woke up. And I'd cry out, wondering whether my father had taken care of things. And if it took him a long time to get to me, they'd say, "Shh, your father's there. Your father's done his job. He won't let anything come in. He'll take care of you." What's interesting is that I have three daughters, and they, every once in a while, will ask if I've checked the locks, if I've set the alarm, to make sure that I've done my job as the father. They kind of expect it now. They expect for the father to care for them. They've gotten used to that. We set the alarms, we check the locks on the door, and nothing will come in to harm us that God does not know about. We need to trust the Father's care here. It's an interesting picture, isn't it? To know that the Father cares for us, that we can trust Him. But He also knows something else about us. Something that I know about my kids, and I know my dad knew about me, was that he knew that I would get anxious about things, that I would get scared at times. So we cry out. But what I want to encourage you to do is to look in our passage today, and Jesus identifies four things that we worry about. We worry about four typical things. Finances. In verse 24, he says, we worry about finances. No one can serve two masters. That's coming from the verse up above. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The second thing that he identifies is in verse 25. We worry about our food. He says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Finances, food, future. Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Well, when our health is in danger, we do worry. When it's your stuff, it's your stuff. That is when we're susceptible, when these things are threatened. And so we think about our future. And lastly, in verse 28, why do you worry about fashion? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow, Jesus says. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, little faith. Oh, you of little faith. God knows what we tend to worry about, especially in times of uncertainty, when these things get threatened. Why does God not want us to worry? Well, I believe it's this, because he knows that worry weighs our hearts down. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. These things that Jesus identified tend to drive us. If you think about it, our finances, especially when they're threatened, as far as our security. We worry about food. You see people rushing to the grocery stores and buying 4 weeks of food, hoarding things. Things that make us feel safe, I guess. Things that have to do with keeping things antiseptic, in which they're good things. But you see that how worry is driving people's behavior. Our thoughts begin to race down every cul-de-sac. We begin to ask about every possibility in our own minds. We keep talking to it, and it churns in our minds, and it races. What if? And what if this? And what's going to happen next? Matthew Henry identifies this. He says that disquieting thoughts are disquieting, tormenting thoughts, which hurries the mind and hither and thither, and hangs in suspense, which disturbs our joy in God and is a damp upon our hope in Him, which breaks the sleep and hinders our enjoyment of ourselves, of our friends, and of what God wants to give us. There's an estimated 90 million work days lost due to illness in the UK because they're related to stress. Valium is the second most prescribed drug. God does not want us to worry about finances, food, future, or fashion. He tells us to put our trust in Him. In Proverbs 14:30, he says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." In other words, passions that make us, they drive us. Worrying about those four things that Jesus identified, they weigh us down. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." David, the shepherd boy, wrote these words in Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." You think God doesn't know that we're anxious? Do you think my dad knew when I was anxious? I'm sure him and my mom were looking at each other. Who was going to get up and go reassure me? Again and again. That's what happens to us. What does Jesus want us to know about worry? We've answered why. It weighs our hearts down. But what does Jesus want us to know? God knows what we worry about. And by worrying, we're not going to change anything. We need to make sure that we listen to God here. Secondly, worry will not add a single hour to your life. You know, I remember a doctor telling me that. He said, "But you don't need to worry," he told me. But he said, "When it's your stuff, it's your stuff." And that's what happens to us when our health is threatened. We worry about it. But we can't add a single hour to our life. The third thing that Jesus tells us is that worrying about tomorrow steals the strength for today. Worry is unproductive. Corrie Ten Boom says, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." So what is Jesus doing? Jesus is comparing and contrasting the world's way versus God's way. The world's way is to worry. Hold that up against the Father's way. It's to trust. So there's two ways to live. The way of worry, the way of the world, which is filled with fear. And God identifies that for us in this verse. The pagan, he says, runs after these things. Boy, if that verse doesn't fall on us a little different today than it has in the past, as you see people running to the grocery store, that the grocery stores are running out of stuff, that when you go look at the shelves, that things are being bought up. I heard of a man who had been hoarding antiseptic napkins and lotions and all kinds of stuff just for this day so he could sell it. People are, well, they're buying up all the toilet paper for some reason because they're afraid. Hand sanitizer, anything else because they're worried. That's what the way of the world is. It's filled with fear. What's the Father's way? The Father's way is filled with trust, peace, knowing that He cares for us, knowing that we have hope in Him. And we have to remind ourselves that again and again on a regular basis. And that's what the important part of community and one another is all about, is growing and edified and being watching around the Word of God, being encouraged to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Father's way is filled with hope. We walk by faith, not fear. We have to trust our Heavenly Father. He'll feed us. What is life all about? Why would God give us a body and not feed us? Life is more than food, Jesus said, more than drink, more than the body, clothing it, worrying about what clothes we have on. It's more about security and image, isn't it? Whether we have the right clothes to fit into our society. Nobody's worrying about that now. These things tend to go away. God says they're needed. There's things that are necessary. A man has to work or he won't eat. That's what the Bible says. We have to eat food to care for our bodies. But we're not to walk in fear. The Father will feed us. And what does Jesus tell us to do? He says, look out there. Look out there. Trust the Father. Look at the birds of the air, he says. Who feeds them? You ever watch the birds? They are not worried about anything. Boy, come springtime, though, you hear them. They're out there early. The early bird gets the worm. That's because the Father's feeding them. He's taking care of them. That doesn't mean they don't have to scratch. They don't have to work for it a little bit. But God will feed them. God takes care of them. Whether we feed them or not, God will feed them. We have to trust. That's what Jesus is saying. You're more valuable than the birds. Not a sparrow falls that God doesn't know about it. But you are worth more than many sparrows. That's what Jesus says. We have to be reminded of that. He says, look at the flowers in the field. They're perishable. Who clothes them? God does. You are more valuable than God. You are more valuable than the birds and the flowers. God cares about you. As we think about that, the Lord Jesus knows that that this might be a problem for us to trust in our Heavenly Father. And so he asks us in verse 28, why do you worry about the clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And in uncertain times, where any of these things get threatened, to trust the Father to feed our faith and starve our doubt, we have to go to the Father. We have to learn to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Look what's happening in the world. We're being forced to look at ourselves. What is going on? We're being told that we need to trust the Father. Lingan Duncan says, anxiety is conquered through truth and through trust. So what does Jesus encourage us to do? He wants us to trust the Father's care. And what does that mean? God knows when his children are anxious and when he wants us to cry out to him. Are you there? Come to us. God said to come to him and we'd find rest for our souls, peace. Are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Draw near to him and he will draw near to us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because why? Because he cares for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear that God cares for us? And that he didn't just merely wind up the clock and let go of it, the watch. He's not the great watchmaker. He actually cares about the small details of our life. He knows the number of hairs on our head and that we're more valuable than the sparrows, many sparrows, he says. So he didn't just wind the world up and ignore it. He knows what's going on. He cares for us. So do not worry, Jesus says, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Isaiah 41:10 is a great verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Trust the Father's care. Secondly, Jesus tells us to focus on the Father's kingdom. To live a righteous life, to seek his kingdom first. To not let fear enter in and paralyze us. Give thanks to the Father for his care. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 has a great verse. It says that God is the God of all comfort. In verse 3, it says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted with by God." Focus on the Father's kingdom. Love God supremely. And love others sacrificially. You remember our missionary who is living in China right now. He says, God is in control and is sovereign over all things, that he's not surprised by an epidemic. Even though we've seen significant changes to our routine and unknowns continue to exist, there are plenty of reasons to be thankful. God brings peace and comfort and faithfulness in times of change and uncertainty. God provides peace that's beyond understanding, that transcends all understanding. He gives perfect love that drives out fear. This missionary says the Chinese church is staying strong through these things, through these challenges. Our pastor has posted sermons on social media and Bible studies on WeChat groups have continued. Chinese believers have had large quantities of time with the unbelieving family members. And we are praying for the gospel fruit. It's good to slow down, he says. Usually the busyness of life makes it hard to stop, to be thankful and reflect on what God has done, on the magnitude and the awesomeness of the gospel. This man says, we have had extra family time with the teenagers in the house who will all be adults soon. The next few years will go fast. The extra time with the kids will be appreciated for years to come. There's been opportunities for growth, spiritual growth. He says, I tried to use this unique season to reflect on what God is teaching me. Honestly, I sense a deepening in my understanding and experiencing his truths. Here are some things come to mind. We have the hope of the gospel, which comes from the current promises that give us strength to endure future promises that guarantee there are better times ahead. There are better times ahead. God is in control, and that he's sovereign over all these things. He's not surprised by epidemics. He's trustworthy. While I know all of this, my finite mind and sinful flesh struggle, he says, to believe when things seem out of control. I'm regularly reminded of the need to recenter my heart in mind on the truth of God's words and his testimonies of his faithfulness. He's a trustworthy God. I cry out like the man in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. I do believe, but help my unbelief. I think that's all of us. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Help us to trust God more and worry less. The gospel comes with a promise in Hebrews 12. We're told that Jesus, enduring the cross because of the joy set before him, what we are going through now is challenging, but it's minuscule compared to what Jesus went through. The principle is the same, though. We can let our current trials overwhelm us, or we can cling to the promises of God. We have the hope of the gospel, which comes with the current promises that give us strength to endure the future. Promises that guarantee our better times are ahead. Pray that we, as believers around the world, would steward our opportunities brought about by the coronavirus to trust and glorify God by clinging to his promises. In Christianity Today, there was an article on the coronavirus and the church. Ed Stetzer asked this question. This article written by Mitch Kim. He says, this crisis can be a witness and an opportunity. How can our churches begin to think about meeting people where they are at emotionally and spiritually as a result of what they are feeling and experiencing as a result of COVID-19? This was Mitch's reply. We need to have our eyes open to what is happening in our communities. Our response may not look as dramatic as those in the early church, yet we should keep our eyes open to the practical needs of the people around us. As college students return home prematurely from their campuses, we should step into their grief with love, outstretched arms, and food, and lots of it, as international students in our communities may not be able to return home, then we can open our homes and hearts to them and be the family of God for them. If supplies of necessary goods run low, we can share our hand sanitizer and our toilet paper. Simple acts of love and great compassion have great power to show the love of Christ. Martin Luther said these words, "I have a better caretaker than you, than all the angels. He it is who lies in a manger, but at the same time sits at the right hand of God, the Almighty Father. Therefore, be at rest." My friend, it's not time to panic. It's time to pray. Max Lucado gives us a great word on staying calm. It comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Stay calm. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I say rejoice. So we should celebrate. Notice it starts with a C. We need to rejoice. And then it says again, rejoice. So we have to remind ourselves at these times to rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. We don't need to worry about toilet paper, hand sanitizer. We don't need to worry about food, fashion, future. We have a God. We have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. We can ask Him. That's the second word, ask. Verse 6, what are we told to do? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This is where we need to turn our worry list into a prayer list. We need to ask the Father to care for us, who cares for us. Cast your anxieties on Him, for He cares for us. Let your requests be known to God. The third thing, the L, leave your requests with God. Just like you leave your car with the mechanic, leave your worries with God. Trust in the Father's care. You don't go back and work on your car. You trust the mechanic to fix your car when you come to pick it up, that it's going to run right. Ask God to take care of things, and He will take care of it. Then it says this promise in verse 7, there will be a peace that's beyond understanding that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So we have to feed our faith and starve our doubts. How do we feed ourselves? We focus on the Word of God. This is the last word. It's worth it. M, meditate on the blessings. Don't meditate on the mess. Paul said these words in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Even though we've seen so many significant changes, God has to come through for us here in the sense that God brings peace and comfort and faithfulness in times of change and uncertainty. The Bible promises us in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we have to keep our minds on the Father's care. Trust the Father's care. Focus on the kingdom of God, living a righteous life, not running around in a panic, but resting and praying to your Father who cares for you. He's there. He's got this. Let's trust Him. Let us walk in peace, walk by faith, peace and comfort in uncertain times. May God bless you this day, this Sunday, as our nation gathers to pray for the world. Let's go to the Father. Father God, we thank you for this time. We ask you to bless it, that you're bigger than us, that you give us hope in this life and the life to come, that you give us a peace that's beyond understanding, that if we'll come to you, we'll find rest. If we draw near, you'll draw near to us. Lord, let us cast our anxieties on you. Let us know that you care for us. You care for us more than the birds and the flowers. You've clothed us. You care for us. You feed us. You will take care of us. We can trust you, not only in this life, but for the life to come. Lord, help those who don't believe be impacted by the belief of us as we walk by faith and not fear in these times. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to help the weak. Comfort the afflicted. We pray, God, now that you would help our community leaders, our doctors, and our people to be strengthened in their body and in their minds. That we would go to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.